than I thought it was going to be. I'm sorry about that. I'm trying to do this the way that it... So, first day. It's like my first day on the job. So bear with me. It's going to be rusty. I'm just letting y'all know. Nah, I'm joking. Hey, who said September 29th? Hey, you reading my notes over here? Father, I have your word and I know it's true. I have everything it says I have. I am everything it says I am. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Remember it because you're going to get called on it eventually. We're never losing that, okay? I just want you guys to know. It's such a powerful prayer to continue to pour into your life every day because you realize how truly dependent you are on God's word. Amen? Even though it's coming through a different source and a vessel today, we pray that that vessel is clean and ready to deliver that word in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, so let's get into this because this is an interesting subject matter. I had a joke, but God said no, so I'm going to go, okay, fine. Submit. But it's such a good joke. It's okay. I'll let it go. God said no. So I'm like, all right, fine. So the title of this message today is, What's God Saying to You? And it's a very interesting subject because that question is going to come to you. Not just today, but it's going to come up to you a lot. Here, in this church. Okay? So be prepared. It doesn't matter if you've been here one day. It doesn't matter if you've been here for 15 years like Holly was attesting this morning. It doesn't matter. I asked Holly last night, what is God saying to you? Because it's that important. And here's the reason why. Today is September 29th, 2019. Literally right here. That's why I was like, you're reading my notes. And the Church of Jesus Christ still has not recognized the power and authority that it has. That is a fact. And you go, how can you say that? How can you say that, Pastor? That's a really harsh word. Well, I'll give you more harsh words. Here you go. I've seen in churches, literally, people who call in the name of Christ supporting movements that divide the body. There's no segregation in the body of Christ. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's not biblical. We're all red. We're all covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you're preaching any kind of gospel that breeds segregation or separation, you're believing that the body is segmented. That's not true. Okay? I also have witnessed churches that cater to problems and build ministries solving people's problems rather than helping them find freedom through God's word. You're trying to keep people in a prison and keep them reliant on you as a source or provider for something, rather than giving them the true source of freedom through God. How do I have rights to say that? It seems harsh, it seems shallow, but Jesus set a very strong pace in his word, right? He set this pace, still, if you could pull up that first scripture, in Mark 11, verses 15 through 18, he says, so they came to Jerusalem then. Jesus went to the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now we know this, we've heard this, 18, sorry, go ahead, continue. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. Jesus did something that was incredible and radical beyond imagination. Okay, could you imagine, you have a temple that has been doing this, not just today. It wasn't like, oh, this is the first time they ever did it. No, this has been going on in Jerusalem, which was a holy city. And this was a temple of God, of worship, and they're out exchanging money. It didn't happen over one day. It happened because of a continued practice, and they allowed a teaching, and a principle and a force of habit to creep in to the church. And it built and it built and it built. And what did it look like? It looks like a segregation movement in the church. It looks like people that are helping people fix problems, but are not giving them the true solution of freedom through Christ. Jesus set the example in cleansing the temple of what this actually looks like. Now I go here and I say, well, what does this have to do with this subject, right? Because I said, what's God saying to you is the title. Well, don't fast forward. Stay tuned. Why did that happen? Why did that happen? We're going to find out. Dill, go ahead. We're going to go to Proverbs 29, verse 2. This is a really powerful scripture, so soak it in. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. There's a lot in that short little passage. So we're going to take it bit by bit. The very first says, when the righteous are in, and if you have a highlighter, a pen, whatever you write in your Bible, you should. If you don't write in your Bible, I'm telling you, it's okay. Because it's your Bible. Write in it. Take notes in it. It's good. If you're not sure what a well-used Bible looks like, come look at Pastor's Bible real quick. He'll show you. It's what it looks like. Is that highlighted in yours? Bam. There you go. No, is that particular verse highlighted is what I'm asking. I'm curious. Proverbs 29. If not, just take and focus in, circle the word in. Because that's a very, very different word than what people probably read when they read it anyway. Because you read fast, you gloss over it, you skip the word in, and you replace it with have. But that's not what it says. It does not say when the righteous have authority. It says when the righteous are in authority. Have means you can possess it. Right? You can't possess this. This isn't something that you possess. It is something that you have to become a part of, right? And God gave me this morning, so it's not even in the notes still, so I don't charge you for being negligent not having this up here, but you don't need to put it up there. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, I'll read it for you guys, says this: for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, talking about Jesus, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That you might become the righteousness of God. So you can't possess it, you can only become a part of it. Because it is his righteousness. Do we understand that? And so what we're being told here, right here in this scripture, is that you have to become a part of it. You have to become in it. It's something you have to be in. You can't have this, okay? Now the second part says, but when the wicked rules, or when the wicked man rules, the people groan, right? Does anybody know what a conditional statement is? Computer programmers? Put your hands up. Word, you know what I'm talking about. A conditional statement is basically if, then. If this statement is true, then the other statement is false. But if the first statement is true, or false, then the other statement is true. One's correct, one's going to not be correct. But if it's the first is not, then the second is. And so what this means that if then you go, the righteous are not in authority, then the wicked rule, therefore the people groan. I'll give you a quick little test. What if you take a glimpse at the world today, are wicked ruling? Are people groaning? Then why is that happening? Because the righteous are not in authority. Whoa. That's a conditional statement. I can say that is fact. That is the reason why it is happening. Because the righteous are not in authority. That's a hard word. Just take a moment. That may convict you, that may not convict you. That's fine. But we're going to get to the meat and potatoes in just a minute, right? The wicked have been ruling our world for many generations now. If you're not sure of that, just go to a history class or just look now. It's fine. You can just take a look. Government has been removing God from every single place that it can. They literally, not joking, wanted to remove the governing body of the Ten Commandments from the actual, what's the building? The Capitol. Thank you. We're literally removing God from every single governmental institution. God's not allowed in your schools anymore. Every other form of God is allowed, but not the Christian God. Because he's the oppressive one. Just pointing that out there, okay? The God of love and forgiveness is the oppressive one. Just to give you an idea how twisted evil looks, okay? Social structures based on God's word are being destroyed left and right, and the church has even started to accept those new social structures. Not here. But it's scary. We complain about the government. How many people complain? Go ahead, governments, be honest. It's fine. You can be honest. Complain about the government. Complain. You can complain about Trump. You can complain about the previous presidents. It doesn't matter. I'm sure we've all opened our mouth and complained at one point about them. Right? We complain about the government and the corruption. We complain about the rampant social standards that are designed to appease man and disrespect God. But here's the catch. What have you done about it? What have you actually done about it? Because what that scripture is talking about is actually doing something about it. Because if you're a righteous person, how many can claim to be righteous? Okay. And you're in authority, then by being in authority, the people rejoice, but what happens is that that latter statement cannot be. It cancels that other half out. Again, conditional statement. So if the first is true, then the second is not. We hear good messages at church. Maybe this is one of them. But we have a dusty Bible at home. Or are we serving and growing with the Lord only in the areas that we feel comfortable in changing? This is not what Jesus was illustrating. This is not clearly not what God was setting the standard for us. Can we agree to that? Okay. So now we're all on the same part. So let's get to the cool part of the message. What is God saying to you? See, all that part there is very important, because if you don't know this second part, then all of that is the real reason why this is going on. Because guess what? God's always talking. Now, you may not hear his voice because it's a whisper or it's quiet, but he's always talking to you. Clearly, there's a problem on the other end then, right? Okay. So John 14:10 says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority." This is Jesus, the Son of God, saying this, "but the Father who dwells in me does the works." Jesus himself, who had all the authority within him to speak freely as he could speak, did not. He did not. As Pastor Dan alluded, even when he was on the cross and he had the right to speak out, he kept quiet. Jesus makes the correlation of he in the Father and the Father in him. What is that signifying? This is exactly the same as that previous scripture in Proverbs, is it not? Right? He is in the authority because he is in the Father and the Father is in him. It's a relationship. It's like symbiotic. Not like that. What's the other one? Symbiosis, I guess. Yeah. No, we don't want that. That's what the iPhones are doing. Don't pay attention to them. All right. But we are in his authority. Therefore, his authority is in us. That requires something of you, church. What does that require of you? That requires you to do something that looks a lot like this. It looks like getting on your knees. It looks like giving up the things that you want in order to have the things that he has. See, you cannot have, unfortunately, I'm sorry, this might break people's hearts, your cake and eat it too. Not here, you can't. You only have what God gives you. Now, if God gives you that cake and says eat it, then okay, then you can have your cake and eat it too. But if he's not giving you that, you need to stop going to that. Because you're never going to be able to be in his authority. Because you're operating in yours. And you go, well, wait a minute. What does that look like? I'll tell you what it looks like. Hey, Dill, can you go back to Proverbs real quick? Thanks. So if you're not in his authority and you're in your authority, who are you? You're the wicked man. You're no better than the people you're complaining about. Well, I'm not like them. I mean, I believe in God. I believe in lifting his name up and praising him. Yeah, on Sundays, that's great. What about Monday? What about Tuesday? What about Wednesday? What about Thursday? What about Friday? What about Saturday? Do you continue? Or is Sunday where you go, I'm here for God, but when it's my time, it's my time. Because after all, I need me time. I need my authority. I need to take dominion. I need to have control. I need to, doesn't God say I have dominion? Yeah, but that's not in your authority. That's still in his authority. You can't take dominion. I'll give you an example. Sons of Sceva, they tried to do it in their authority. What happened to them? They didn't have a good time. If you're not sure what that looks like, go read about them. They did not have a good time. They got their butts kicked. They tried to do it in their authority. You can't. Only in his authority. Back to John. Dill, if you could. Thank you. Furthermore, Jesus also explains in this text that the words that he speaks are not his. What does that mean? This is going to hurt. I'm sorry, not sorry. So I'm going to let you all know now. But I know this is going to hurt people's feelings. I don't really care about your feelings. I care about what God says. So just deal with it. Suck it up. You can come at me later. I'll still give you the same words. So, sorry. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you. Jesus submitted his tongue to the Father. His words were never his words. His words were God's words. Well, what's that? How does that? How does that work? How do I know how to sound like God? Because I mean, you're talking to me, and I hear what you're saying, and I'm getting this prick in my heart that I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to sound like one of those hippy-dippy Christian people, that are like, thou hast cometh to me, brother, in great sin, in a time of need. No, I'm not, you gotta get rid of that New King James Bible. You gotta get a better Bible. But I'm just saying, but the truth in that is that you're only gonna sound like him the more you read his word. Why? Because that's actually his words. So you don't know his language until you study his language. When you study his language, you start to speak his language. The more you speak his language, the more it becomes common vernacular. The more it's common vernacular, guess what? It's no longer your words, but now it's his words. See, Jesus wasn't just the Son of God and the Son of Man, but he was also called Rabbi. Why was he called Rabbi? Rabbis were teachers. You have to know what you're teaching. He knew the Word of God. Yeah, he had a hands up. He was there for it all, so, he kind of, it's like having the best cheat ever. It's like the best cheat code ever, okay? Like, I was there in the beginning, and I've seen all the stuff that's coming, so I know all the stuff that he wrote. I was there when he wrote it. I was there when he was telling him what to write. I was there for all of it. So, he kind of had a leg up on the competition, I'm just saying, but still required him to know it. And he did. And even when he spoke, even when this enemy tempted him in the wilderness, he didn't beat the devil's head in with a fist or with, oh, Mr. Tough Guy, Satan, you're messing with me. I'm God's son. Don't you know? No, he turned around and just spit the word of God right back in his face. And there was nothing that he could do about it. See, we get beat up all day long, but we come back with our fist up in the air going, all right, come on, I'll get the next round. And then he decks you in the face again. And you're forgetting to use his words. Instead, you start cursing the devil out like that's going to make a difference. And now you're talking his language. You're giving him fuel to the fire. You're helping him out. Keep going. You're going to be the one on the floor at the end of it all. You'll be like one of the seven sons of Sceva. Facts. Why is this all important? So we go back to that authority scripture, and in that authority in Proverbs, why is this important? Why is his authority so important? I should be more clear. Why is his authority so important? His authority is the most important authority because there is no authority above him. Right, Dill? You have that Psalm scripture? Psalm 95. Did I not give it to you? Psalm 95 verse 3. If you guys want to turn to it, you can. I'll go there myself. I probably didn't. It's probably my fault. That's okay. But we all have Bibles, and if you don't, you can cheat on your friends. But Psalm 95 verse 3 says, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. That means there is no one higher. No one. Not one creature, not one being, not one entity. Nothing is higher than he. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. His authority is preeminent. If you don't know what that word is, get a dictionary. Because you're going to need one for me. I'm going to challenge you on words. Look them up. He has the greatest authority. And that because his authority is the highest, what happens when you're in his authority? Who's higher than you in that moment? No one. What does that give you the authority to do? That gives you the authority to speak to things as though they aren't and they are. That gives you the authority to speak to a mountain to be cast out into the sea and it is. It gives you the authority to speak to a fig tree that doesn't produce fruit and watch it wither and die. By the way, these are teachings that Jesus did. He was in his authority. So he had the power to do all of those things and more. As long as, caveat, ding, 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 the Father did it first. Because as he saw what the Father did, he did. Ooh. There's a lot of catches here. John 16, verse 13. Dill, next one says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you. That's all of you. Into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. So now this is even the Spirit of God himself. Won't speak on his authority, but whatever he hears from God the Father, he will speak and he will tell you the things to come. How do we have access to the same things that Jesus had access to? Well, first you need to know Jesus, and you need to know his Spirit. But when you know Jesus, now you have the access to the King, and you know his Spirit, you now have access to his voice. You now have the ability to not just be in his authority, but to operate in his authority. See, we need to hear what he's saying. in order to go back to Proverbs real quick. We need to hear what he's saying so that we can be that righteous that are in authority, so that we can stop that wicked man ruling. If we don't like the situations that this world is dictating, stop letting them dictate to you, dictate to them. You do not have to tolerate what they tell you. That may seem very anarchistic. I am so sorry. That is not what I'm trying to breed. I'm not trying to breed anarchy. But I will tell you this, it's going to look like that. Because if you think the wicked man is going to stop trying to oppress and get you to bend your knee and submit, we're going to talk about that. We can bring that message back up one day. That's a good one. Because that's what he wants. The enemy is not going to be satisfied until we quit. He wants you to submit to him. He wants you to quit. He wants you to bend your knee to him. That's what he wants. Because he doesn't win in the end, but if he can stick his nose up at God the Father for what he's done to him, oh, he hurt your feelings. That's how he feels towards it. No. What God wants is his people to fight back. Because you've been equipped to do it. He has made all the provision for you to have access to the king, and his spirit has made all provision for you to be able to hear his word and know that it's him. So that when he speaks, you listen and you do what? Obey. Where's Charlotte at? You have one job, child. What is it? Listen and obey. That's a fact. If you're not sure, you can go over there and witness it. It happens. Right? The Holy Spirit speaks what he hears from God Almighty. His spirit is our connection to hear God's voice so we can operate in his authority just as Jesus did. We're no different than Jesus when we do this. That's what it means to be a Christian, a little Christ. You hear God's word and you do what he says to do. Right? So, and Jesus prepared us so that we could continue to do his work. That's why he gave us the great, maybe you can do this if you want. If you feel like it. If you're not too busy, please. When you get a minute. If you could just spare some time. No, he gave you a commission. He gave you commands. He gave you commission. Why? Because he's in authority. He doesn't ask, he tells. We have to stop with mamby-pamby Christianity that's afraid to hurt somebody's feelings. I don't care about your feelings. No offense. I love you. But your feelings are going to lie to you. They're going to make you believe that you can be hurt. You can't be hurt because you are immortal. Because you have the blood of Jesus Christ in you, you can't be hurt. I've heard testimonies where people have pointed a gun at a believer's head and watched the barrel turn and nothing happened. Why? Because the power of Jesus compelled that gun not to fire. You can't be hurt. You are indestructible. You might, I saw a bumper sticker, I thought this was great. I love this bumper sticker. I actually don't believe in putting any stickers on my car, but this would probably be the first one. Not gonna lie, because it was great. It said, born once, die twice. Line. Born twice, die once. Most powerful bumper sticker I've ever seen. I'm dead serious. That's fantastic. There's a bunch of people that are going to keep going, living life, and they're going to suffer a second death. And it's going to suck. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for us, because we're going to be the ones that have to watch it happen. But just because you came to the loving, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you don't suffer that. You just get this stuff gone. And then you go to glory. Amen? See, this today was a door. And you know, you guys ever hear messages about doors and all that stuff? There's a couple of them anyway. But this is a door. You were just given a door that I have done a great, lovely service to go and open up for you. Like a greeter. Where's Miss Bobby? Miss Bobby. opens the door for you, right? You've been given that door to walk through into the full authority of God. He desires us to be in this place as we continue with him, but also because we come willingly to obey his word. And I can only attest to this from people I've witnessed it with. I don't have the lovely pleasure of this yet. But fathers, my dads, fathers, you want to know when a dad smiles? A dad smiles when their children obey. A dad smiles when their children obey. Not out of fear, but because they want to honor their father. God has that same delight. He delights in us even more so. So the big question remains, what is God saying to you? What is he saying to you? And I throw a challenge out. So that challenge is very much a repeat. What is God saying to you? But I want to give you some tips. This could be a very difficult question to answer. But it's a very revealing question. So I want you to do me a favor. Be honest. This is the safest place you're ever going to find. It's the safest place you're ever going to be in. If your answer is,
I honestly don't know.
That's a really good answer. It tells a lot, but it's the right answer. Be honest. I don't know. Okay, now we can start. You don't know. Let's find out. Together. Because we'll do that. We'll pray with you. That's what an intercessor does. You can't hear what God's saying? Lives a lifetime in intercessory prayer. Guess what? If you ask him, in about a minute, he's going to have words for you that God's revealed to you, through him to you, for you. Because God's speaking. The difference is that you're just not able to hear it yet. But he's going to listen for you. The difficulty in hearing stems from a willingness to invest into whatever it takes to hear his voice. When we were talking about being desperate, guess what it looks like? How desperate are you to hear his voice? How desperate are you to cry out his name day in, day out, desiring to hear his voice? How much do you want to hear what he has to say? Are we desperate to hear his voice, or are we afraid of what he's going to say? And I can tell you, do not fear the voice of the Lord. Do not fear the voice of the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you something. The church of old has done a hatchet job in bastardizing and scaring the believers into believing that God is some tyrannical ogre who rules on a throne of skulls and is waiting to beat his children into oppression. Let me tell you, that's not God, my God. That's the devil. That's what he wants. But my God is a loving God, a caring God, a compassionate God, one who cares greatly for his creation more than anything else. The God who sent his only begotten son to go and pay the ultimate price so that he could have an eternal relationship with you. That's how much my God loves. So don't fear what he has to say, because believe me, what he has to say is only good and wholesome and righteous and helpful for your life. He wants to pour out good and wholesome and wonderful things in us and through us so that we can become the righteousness of God, so that he can do what? Move through us. Hearing what God has to say is that important. So I say yet again, what is God saying to you? I look forward to your answers on my desk by 3:30. Why is everybody laughing? That was not the joke. But seriously, I want you guys to do that for me. Ask God. Ask him to tell you something. Ask him to talk to you. Find out what he's saying to you. What is it that he wants? What is it he's looking for? And sometimes, yeah, they're going to be hard. If you're not sure you don't hear him, come see us. We'll tell you. If you're not sure it's God, guess what? You have the best research textbook in the world. Because you're going to hear things, and you're like, I don't know if that's God. Go find out. If you're not sure what a concordance is, we'll tell you. If you're not sure how to look things up, the internet is a fantastic weapon. I recommend you just go to Bible Gateway, type in what God's saying, and find out what scriptures pop up. Because guess what? If it's him, guess what it's going to sound like? It's going to sound like his word. If it's not him, you probably won't find it here. That's a good way to know. God's probably not going to tell you to go to the liquor store and rob it. Just letting you know. That's not him. Because I don't see liquor store and there's robbery, but those people weren't good. So he didn't have good things for them. So just be warned that that's not him, okay? But if you're not sure, we are the resources. We have leaders, we have deacons, we have elders. This church has been built to be able to be there in that time of need. It's okay to come and ask. It's not okay to leave here today and wonder if you're still okay. Because if that's where you're at, that's dangerous. So what is God saying to you? And be prepared, because you may get quizzed. Because this guy will quiz you. I'll quiz you. He'll quiz you. Even some of the other people like Miss Holly will quiz you. Ken might quiz you. So be prepared. You might get asked. You might be asked. In this church, you're going to get asked because you want to know what we want. We want this church to move out in the authority of God. We want this church to move out in authority and power because we believe that this church here at Streams is going to change not just Williamstown, not just New Jersey, but is going to become part of that church worldwide movement that's going to change the world. Amen? Amen? We on board? Amen. Worship team, if you can. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, that you speak to us, God. That you speak to us in so many ways we may not be able to clearly understand. We may not be able to really recognize that it's your voice, God, but that doesn't mean you're not speaking. It doesn't mean that you're not calling us out. It doesn't mean that you're telling us how much you care, how much you love, how much you want our attention fixated on you, God. So, Lord, as you continue to speak, let us have the ears, Father, that are listening, God. Let us have the ears that are willing to hear, that are willing to listen, not fearfully thinking that there's some kind of oppression upon us, God, but that you are speaking freedom, God, in our life, God. You're speaking good and wholesome things into our lives, God. And so, Lord, we open our ears, God. We allow you to speak to us, God. We allow you to open our ears to hear, Father, what it is that you're saying through your Spirit and your Son, Lord. So we thank you, God. We thank you for the sacrifice that your Son has made on the cross, the provision of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, God. And most importantly, that your Spirit is our great intercessor, God, constantly making intercession for us, Father, so that we can hear your sweet sound and your direction and what it is you want to do through us and in us, God, as we move out in your authority to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We give you this day today to rule and reign, and every day henceforth in our lives, as we surrender to you, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.